minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And joining me in studio, for the first time in studio, we've had him on the show before, but Colorado State men's basketball stud David Roddy joining us. David, my friend, how are you, dude? It's good to see you, man. Look at that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. Just super, super excited to be here.
It's our live studio audience. What do you think of that, man? It's like a 1980s sitcom.
It's awesome.
Here.
I love it.
It cheers you on as you're talking. You're like, wow, I've got people cheering me on.
Right,
this is amazing.
Right, yeah.
It's not quite as loud as how I believe it's going to be at Moby Arena this year.
No, not even close.
No, I mean, we're working on it. But yeah, we've only got two people back there. So, they're behind the curtains. But man, Moby Arena is going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. Colorado State's basketball school. I mean, that you guys have really made Colorado State become a basketball school. You're seeing it nationally. You're seeing it, obviously, locally. We know it in football. We're hoping everything kind of gets back on the right track. But right now, when it comes to the star power and, you know, the best chance for the nation to look at Colorado State, it's the basketball program. How does that feel, man? I mean, knowing that, and again, it's you. You've got some stars on this team, Isaiah Stevens, obviously, some great players, but you're a focal point. I mean, how does that feel? It's kind of a cool thing, man.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. When Coach Medved recruited us, you know, it's really what we signed up for. We had a pretty successful year last year. We had a hard break at the end of the season, but, you know, we capitalized off of the opportunity to be in the NIT tournament. So we had a bit of national recognition then. And now it's just, see how far we can take it. We just have to take it day by day. And I'm just super proud of my teammates for, you know, bringing it this far.
David, I was talking to Coach. We had Coach Medved on the show last week, and I was talking about you, and I said, hey, I was chatting with David kind of off the record, kind of said, who's one of your best friends on the team? And you started going through everybody on that roster, man. And it was genuine, and you see it. And I told Coach that, and he's like, oh, that's awesome. I just love to hear that. And Coach, of course, just says the most awful things about you, by the way. No,
right.
He says, you know, you love it when your best player is one of your best guys, like a best dude. And you and I discussed that a lot, of how Coach Medved, okay, yeah, I'm looking for talented players, but we want guys that can really work well together and that are just genuinely good guys. And you guys all seem to click, man. I mean, you all seem to be like a family.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most important things that I considered coming out of high school. Just a close chemistry with guys as well as the coaching staff. We have, you know, Coach Sorsen and Coach Blunt who left. But, you know, they're still a part of our family. You know, I still text them, you know, once a week or, you know, biweekly and everything. So we stay connected, as well as, you know, Coach Jones actually talked about it yesterday, was, you know, he's new. Coach Cooley is new as well. And we just have to start, you know, being connected. You know, the team chemistry is there, but we just need to bring in those new guys. And, you know, we're able to do something special when that happens.
How hard is that to do that, to bring it? Because like you said, you're the coaching staff last year, you guys are all so tight-knit. To bring in a couple of new guys, great guys, but how tough is that? Or is it not really tough at all with the group that you have?
Yeah, it's not really that tough. I think it'll just take a little bit more time. The learning curve with the plays and everything, that's going to take its time as well. But, you know, off the court, you know, it's pretty, pretty seamless. So, I'm just super, super happy to have, you know, the new additions to the team. You know, Jalen Scott, Jalen Lake, Chandler, and Baylor Hebb. So, those guys are awesome guys and awesome people, and I'm just glad to have them in the locker room.
I kind of look at that roster and I see those names, and I'm like, the rich just get richer on that side.
Right.
Because obviously you have. I thought going into it this year, without any of the moves and transfers, it looks like on paper you guys could easily be one of the top teams in the West, if not the best. And then you add all these names, and to me it's like, wow, that's a no-brainer. So you see the preseason polls come out and everything, and there's Colorado State. You guys are number one everywhere. You're on all these different watch lists, man. How does that feel? A couple years ago, you kind of stormed onto the scene. You specifically, but this team stormed onto the scene, and we're like, whoa, where did David Roddy come from? Where did Isaiah Stevens come from? It's no secret anymore. There's a pretty large target on your backs. How does that transition feel for you?
Yeah, it's a good feeling to have that recognition. Throughout my entire sports career, I've kind of had, you know, been second or third mostly on every single list that I've been on for any awards. So, that just adds another chip to my shoulder. you know, but I just, you know, take it humbly. And, you know, we haven't done anything yet, right? You know, we're still 0-0. My stats are still 0-0-0. So, you know, we just have to take it day by day. But it's definitely a huge thing for, you know, me and Isaiah as well as the team is just, you know, we're getting our respect now, and now we just have to acknowledge that and just, again, take it day by day.
Does it feel any different than any season before, or is it just like, no, it's the same thing? We're not talking about that. Or does it feel different? Do you kind of walk around going, yeah, I mean, we're expected to be the best in this conference?
I feel like it hasn't changed anything. Our approach is still the same. We're still very hungry every single practice, and we work extremely hard, and we compete even harder. So, you know, we understand, you know, where we are in the conference, and, you know, we expect to win a lot of games this season. But, you know, again, it just we have to have a deliberate mindset each practice.
Yeah, I think to me it's been just such a joy to watch, you know, talking to Coach Medved from when we started. And, you know, I mean, his record has just gone up with you guys going up, and it is a fun thing to watch you all grow together. And it's a unique feel to it. And I don't just say that because you're in here and you're much bigger than me, David. it's a unique feel to this program where, yes, you're talented, but you're also all of you guys are so likable. Head coaching staff's likable. I mean, I've talked to several of the assistants. They're likable. It's just a good group to get behind. And to me, when you are trying to put a program on the map, yes, you have to have skill, but having those personalities, it's just second to none.
Yeah, it just builds the culture that we're trying to build, you know, with, you know, Adam Thistlewood and Kendall Moore starting it out, and then, you know, the huge recruiting group of my class with John, Deshaun, Isaiah, James Moores, and myself. So five guys coming in, and just the younger guys adding on to it. You know, that's the winning culture that we want, you know, on and off the court. So I'm just super, super blessed to be a part of this team and a part of this culture, and hopefully I can leave my legacy soon.
Well, I think you've already left quite a bit behind too. So I'm really excited to see what you guys can do this year. I'm talking to Coach Medved last week, a part of that conversation. And I said, hey, is he one of the most unique players? Is David Roddy one of the most unique players you've ever coached? And he's like, he's the most unique guy. He does play all five positions. He can play all five positions. He can do it extremely well. You are one of those guys that we're seeing in the NBA now, too, where guys come into the league and you expect them to be able to take the ball down the floor. You also expect them to post up on the number five. So what is that like for you? Because on one second, you could be going up against the big, but you could also be guarding the one, too. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy ability to have.
Yeah, it's definitely a strong suit of my game. It's definitely been, you know, perpetuating throughout, you know, my career here at CSU. In high school, it was a little bit different. In my high school team, I was just completely the five because I was just the biggest guy on the team. So I was in the middle of the zone and just commanding the defense. But, you know, when college happens, you know, I'm a 3-4. So I have to, you know, actually move my feet, fight around screens and everything. So it definitely took a lot of a big learning curve on the defensive end. But, you know, I got used to it, and we're starting to utilize that lineup a lot more. And, you know, whatever helps my team win, you know, I'll do it. Pass, shoot, dribble, wherever it is, or play defense as well. So, you know, that's really where it's at right now, and I'm just super excited to, you know, keep growing.
It's all that work with Coach Farouk Manesh, too.
Yes.
Right,
down
low. I'm seeing that matchup. I did ask Coach, I'm like, who's winning that? And he's like, I mean, Roddy's winning that in his sleep all the time. Is that true? I mean, because I love Coach Farouk Manesh, but I still love seeing that video of you guys going at it the other day.
Oh,
you guys mess with each other, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's my guy, so, you know, he's never going to beat me. Whether it's he is, I'll give him this. He is good at pig. He does most wild circus shots and makes them every single time, whether it was on my official visit or, you know, throughout my 3 years here. So, you know, he's a good shooter and everything, but I got it.
How rare is it to have the relationship like you guys have? And again, from what you see from other guys on different teams, I mean, I saw, you know, in the off season as you're ending up some off season stuff, you guys end up just having like a fun day of kickball and all that stuff. How rare is that? Do you see that all the time, or is this kind of a rarity for this program?
It's pretty cool. I feel like it's slightly a rarity. You know, I know about a few other programs that do it as well, but, you know, just having that fun day of, you know, clearing your mind and understanding like, hey, it's still the summer. You guys can still, you know, enjoy your time. I feel like that's the biggest thing is finding that balance, especially in the summer, because, you know, we came off a disappointing ending to the season last year, but, you know, we capitalized on it. And, you know, that's really was our main focus over the summer was to, you know, get better and grind. But, you got to understand, you got to take time. Like, hey, you're a college student as well, and you can have fun. You can go out with your friends as well. And, you know, kickball was just one of the, you know, good staples of it.
What style of kickball was it? Because there's the regular that's like baseball style, but then there's what, kangaroo kickball?
Yeah, it was the regular style. Okay. I think the matchups were weird, though. It was like a bunch of people on each team. It was like 10 on each team. So it took forever to get up. Every time you hit the ball, it would just be out because it would just land in someone's hand. So it was pretty frustrating. I remember Jake Dennison actually almost hit a home run with it. So he definitely helped our team win.
Would that be your secondary sport? Your secondary sport would be football, right?
Right, right.
I mean, every broadcast, by the way, you know this, right? You've heard
this. Yes, yes.
Every TV broadcast, Angel, I'm telling you, that you watch Colorado State play, I'm gonna start doing like an over-under thing. How many times will they mention that David Roddy also played football and was also pretty damn good? And there's also an over-under. How many bits of footage will they show of some of those days, too?
I haven't seen any footage yet. I've definitely heard it usually in the beginning, middle, and end of games. Or whether I'm trying to watch film as well with Ali, and he has a sound on. It's like, oh, check out his football highlights after this. So I'm like, dude, like, I haven't played football in 2.5 years. Like, I've had 2.5 years of college basketball, and you guys want to, you know, bring that up. But, you know, it's an interesting facet to my life as well. You know, I was a 3-sport athlete in high school, so you know, I must have been pretty good to be talked about all the time. But it's just an interesting nugget for them, and I'm fine with it.
Positions are always different from high school transitioning into college. If you were playing football today, what position do you think you'd play?
If I chose to play football, I'd be playing quarterback.
You would be playing quarterback. Yeah, okay, people, so you'd stick with what you know.
Yep, for sure. People will definitely drool over the idea of me playing tight end, but, you know, I feel like I'm a better quarterback than tight end, but I only played tight end 1 year of my life, which was in seventh grade.
Would you make that transition if it was the only way? If they're like, hey, man, we need you to play tight end.
If it was the only way, and I mean, hey, you know, the Vikings called me or something like that after I'm done playing basketball, maybe that might be an option. I'll definitely have to get prepared for that. And yeah.
Why is it that you know, because it always seems like basketball players do have an ability to transition. And that next step, if we were to say, oh, they could play football. We know several guys that played in conferences around, you know, Mountain West, Big Sky, that transitioned to be a tight end. And they played basketball, but they transitioned to be a tight end. What about that connection makes it easier to transition to tight end?
Yeah, I feel like it's just the agility part and the footwork part of basketball is very similar to football as well. You know, wide receivers off their breaks. I think Doug Baldwin from the Seahawks actually broke it down. One of his, you know, moves was just really like a crossover without the basketball. Hmm. So there's a lot of elements of shifting one's body to another position is a very important part of route running as well. And, you know, like I could think of Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, you know, those guys, you know, they're just physical presences, you know, on the basketball court. And that kind of carries over to football as well. And using their athletic ability to jump up and catch, you know, jump balls and everything. So it definitely translates. And it's definitely a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to David Roddy, Colorado State Ram. They got the exhibition portion of their schedule over with. The season starts a week from today at home against Oral Roberts. We are so excited about that one. You guys win 92-55 against Adams State. I don't think that was a shock to anybody. What do you take from those kind of games where it's like, okay, we're expecting you to win and win big. How much do you take from a game like that?
Yeah, you can take a lot from a game like that. You know, it's the first time putting on the jerseys, playing in front of fans again, which was an amazing experience. But, you know, it definitely shows you what you need to work on, you know, in the next week of practice. You know, for us, it's, you know, just staying, you know, disciplined on defense, you know, not getting too spread out, as well as, you know, knocking the rust off on offense. You know, we had a bit of turnovers in the first half, but, you know, we improved on it in the second half, and as well as moving the ball and playing our game. So, you know, knocking off that rust and focusing on what we need to focus on for Oral Roberts is definitely huge.
Oral Roberts, I mean, I'm just looking at the conference schedule is going to be crazy because I think the Mountain West Conference, and when it comes to basketball, I don't feel like there's this Power 5 thing as much. It feels like the Mountain West is right, and there's so many great teams that are in this conference. But just looking at this non-conference schedule, like we said, your Oral Roberts, you know, you look at the Alabamas down the road, too. I mean, St. Mary's, there's some really good basketball teams on this non-conference schedule.
Yeah, that's the challenge that we put on ourselves. You know, we want to play the best teams in the country. So, you know, Coach and, you know, Aaron Katsuma has done an amazing job of scheduling this year. So I'm just super, super excited to be in big games all the time. That's really what what we signed up for. I keep coming back to that. You know, that's really what, you know, we strive to be as a program, and, you know, hopefully we can, you know, win big games, and, you know, we're put in that situation. So it's super, super exciting.
David, we're in a day and age in college sports where there's the, well, obviously the NIL stuff, there's the transfer portal stuff. I mean, you're seeing players, football, basketball, whatever, enter this thing. I just picture it like people going through portals left and right, and it's hard to keep track of. That's not the case with Colorado State basketball. What is it? Is it because you see the opportunities in front of you to achieve greatness? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the togetherness? Is it Fort Collins? What is it?
I think it's really everything. You know, the coaching staff has done an amazing job of being transparent with everybody. You know, they don't promise anything. They say, hey, you know, if you come in and perform well, you'll play. But you got to understand your role on the team. And, you know, it's just the high character guys that we have on the team as well, you know, understanding their role and understanding, hey, you know, you might not play as much this year, but, you know, in 2 years from now, this conference is yours. So, you know, just having the right group of guys and, again, the right community, the amazing fans and culture around Fort Collins and CSU is just, you know, why leave when you can do something special here rather than just being a cog in another wheel at a big school.
Well, you're one of those guys. Isaiah Stevens is one of those guys that got opportunities, and you just sprinted with those opportunities. So that's got to be an encouraging thing for young players that look at that and say, I may be not scheduled to get some playing time right off the bat, but look at these guys. Now they're superstars.
Right, right. Yeah, just trusting the process and working every day and being consistent. That's the biggest thing I can, you know, share with the younger guys is just understanding your role. And, you know, we all played the role before. So, you know, kind of just have to, you know, just trust it and shine when you need to shine.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm so excited. Also, this, we're going to be doing this every week throughout the course of the season. Obviously, some cases we'll be on the phone and doing that stuff. But the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I know you're a Crazy Carl's guy. That's where we met the other day.
Yep.
A great place. And I know you met the ownership, the owners, too. And they're pumped to do this. They're big supporters of Colorado State. Favorite pizza? Which one is it again?
The Works.
The Works.
Works Pizza, yep.
It's kind of self-explanatory,
yep,
right? It's
sure.
Everything on there. I mean, I haven't had a bad piece of pizza there. They do wings, too. Great place to watch college basketball. I mean, it's a perfect spot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's really right across the street from Moby. So, you know, watch a few football games there, a few basketball games as well. So it's a great atmosphere, you know, college fans everywhere, and good pizza and good wings. So it's definitely good.
Well, there's one of the locations across from Moby, right? You and I got our wires crossed. I do this. Angel, it's hard to believe, right? I confused somebody. But we met by the one on Timberline.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, which one again? And I'm like, I should have thought you would have assumed the one right where
right
you're working,
next, right? Yep,
right? But no,
Moby.
I was like, this is the one I know, and this is where I feel safe because I get lost easily. But it worked out, man. No, it's going to be an absolute honor to do this with you. This is my favorite thing about this name image and likeness stuff is, and I've said this 12 years ago, well before this ever happened, was this gives an opportunity for you guys. Okay, it's not going to take too much of your time. You're still going to be able to focus on what you're going to be focusing on. But we get to learn about you a lot more outside of basketball. But we also get the X's and O's of basketball, win or lose. And that's what fans want to hear. They want to hear it from you guys, too, that are in the thick of it, coaches as well. Mm-hmm. But we don't get these opportunities on a weekly basis. And that's what's so fun about this.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, I'm super, super, you know, blessed and honored to be on the show as well as, you know, give insight to the CSU basketball team and college basketball in general, what goes through a student athlete's mind and, you know, would take you through our day and just, you know, eliminate some stigmas as well, which is a very important part, you know, of you know, this show for sure. And yeah, I'm just super, super excited.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Appreciate you stopping by the studio. Tell Coach Medved we said hi and take it easy, man.
I mean, will.
He's such a nice guy.
Yes.
But then you can see that. You can see it when he gets a little rowdy and he gets going there. He can make that transition, which is the perfect kind of coach, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, he can definitely, you know, turn the tables real quick and get very, very intense and very loud. But, you know, Coach is one of the most, you know, adjustable coaches that I've met. He's one of the smartest coaches I've met as well. He adjusts on the fly, which makes him a really great coach in X's and O's, and as well as, you know, he's an empathetic coach as well. He understands, you know, there's a life beyond basketball that, that we live. So, he takes us to the side and say, hey, how you doing off the court? And is everything all good? If you know, we aren't playing to the level that we're supposed to or anything like that, he doesn't really get on you for that.
Yeah.
He challenges you and you know, holds you accountable. But after that, he really just talks to you and say, hey, is anything I can do to help you and everything. So he's definitely a great mentor for me.
It seems like a great mix. It really does. And speaking of life outside of basketball, you and I talked a lot. You're a rocker, which makes me extremely happy because it's the only kind of music I listen to.
Right.
I'm not. My wife's versatile. She'll listen to a bunch of stuff, but I'm a rocker, so meeting a fellow rocker is going to be exciting for me.
Yeah, my music taste is pretty versatile. I think that comes from my father playing it before our Pop Warner games, as well as just the football mindset really is just a lot of rock music around me. So I've become to grown. It's grown on me a lot. So.
And you like some of the stuff I sent over to you.
Oh, yeah.
That Fozzy, that was pretty good.
Yep, that was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good as well.
I'm just going to keep sending you stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
There's going
to
be misses, I'm sure. And you're going to be like, huh.
I'm going to be like, why is he still screaming? how does he have so much breath to be screaming this
loud? I sent you Seven Dust. Did you get that?
I did. I haven't heard that yet.
They're an interesting mix.
Okay.
So be careful. The beginning is a lot of screaming.
Got it.
But their later years... so much better.
Right. I mean, their vocal cords are probably...
Yeah, they kind of have to... Like, what was the lead singer Disturbed? Like, he had some stuff building up in his throat where he had to have, like, surgery.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah, they had to calm down a little bit.
So. Yeah, probably. So, just excited to expand my music taste even more on the show and talk about music as well.
See, that's something no one has ever said to me is, Brady's going to help me expand my music taste.
Right.
Because everyone says my music, I only have one, and that's it, and I won't listen to anything else. But that's just the way it is, man.
Yeah,
you just got to roll with it.
Right.
David, my friend, appreciate you, and we'll look forward. We start officially next week, right?
Next
is that
week,
right?
Yes.
I guess this was officially today, but
yeah.
We're looking forward to it, man, and we're happy to have you a part of the team. The David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, man.
It's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, good luck next week. We'll have a game to talk about, too,
yes,
so that's going to be fantastic right off the bat.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a short break. David, my friend, drive safely getting out of here. Yeah, Greeley, you can get lost easy, man. Be careful.
Thanks so much. Thank
All right.
you.
All right, we'll take a short break. We do have some breaking news, kind of some disturbing breaking news. Henry Ruggs, we'll get to that on the other side. We're going to talk more about Von Miller and all that stuff. There's a lot to get to today. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news here on, a couple, about 30 minutes ago, get this out, Las Vegas Raiders receiver Henry Ruggs III was involved in a fiery car crash early Tuesday morning that killed one person and led to Ruggs being charged with DUI, resulting in death. According to the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, officers responded to a traffic collision near the intersection of South Rainbow Boulevard and South Spring Valley Parkway involving a Chevrolet Corvette and a Toyota. Responding officers located the Toyota on fire. Fire department personnel responded and located a deceased victim inside the Toyota. The preliminary investigation indicates the front of the Chevrolet collided with the rear of the Toyota. The driver of the Chevrolet, quote, identified as 22-year-old Henry Ruggs, remained on scene and showed signs of impairment. He was transported to UMC Hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Ruggs will be charged with DUI resulting in death. This is an ongoing investigation, the Las Vegas Metro PD said in their statement. Whew, that's a lot to digest here, and we'll let you do that just right now. 12:33 the time. We're going to talk Von Miller, Broncos, and all that coming up next with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Tough story on a Tuesday afternoon. Right now, Angel will jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And Zach, before we bust into all things Von Miller and trade deadline, all that with the Broncos, of course, seeing the news about Henry Ruggs, I mean, it doesn't matter if he's in the division, NFL, whatever. This is always just a really, really tough story to take, that Henry Ruggs was involved and charged with a DUI resulting in death. It's a tough story, man.
Yeah, I mean, a story that you never want to see, regardless of, you know, if it's even in a sport, let alone in the NFL or let alone within the Broncos division. Just a terrible situation where, you know, he's being charged with a DUI resulting in death, like you said. And it's awful that happened. And just this morning that happened. But yeah, I mean, it obviously impacts the Broncos and the football and the Raiders as well, because the Broncos still have another game against the Raiders. And man, I wouldn't think with this, at least, that the Broncos would be playing against Henry Ruggs this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, it just seems to be part of this, not that they're comparable, but just in another situation for the Raiders to try to have to figure out. It seems like it's been that way for a few years now. But we'll keep our eyes peeled to see what this goes. As they said, it's an ongoing investigation, so I'm sure maybe more will come out on this story. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, yesterday was a pretty big day for the Broncos. Apparently they're, you know, Vic Fangio. No, I don't know. They had a, you know, we moved on from Vaughn, which is bittersweet, because I think if you're looking at it from, if you're just a straight up fan person, fanboy, fangirl, whatever, you're like, because my wife looked at me and she goes, wow, that's so sad. Why would we do that? And, you know, my wife's not digging into the X's and O's of it. Guys like us, Zach, sophisticated guys, of course, look at that and say, man, second, third round pick for a team that's probably not going anywhere. I'll take that.
Yeah, and you know, it was a tough day yesterday for emotions, Brady, and you're exactly right. Just on the surface, it's tough to see Von Miller traded, but when you dive into it, the Broncos did really good in this trade by getting a second and a third round back. And yes, they are paying $9 million of salary, but Brady, the Broncos were going to pay $9.7 million of the rest of his salary this year if he stayed on the team anyway. So it doesn't really impact them. They have the money. They have the cap space anyway. So I love that the Broncos paid that salary in order to get even a bigger return for Von Miller. And look, Brady, the first month of the season, it really looked like Von had an opportunity to retire as a Bronco. Look, he won AFC Defensive Player of the Month in September, 4 sacks in 3 games. The Broncos were 3-0. It seemed like I could finally see a situation in which he was going to be a Bronco for the rest of his career. But then this past month completely derailed that. Von was struggling. The Broncos were struggling. And I just did not see a situation where Von was going to stay a Bronco for life. And we've talked about it time and time again on this great show, Brady, that Von, in order to stay after this year, he was either going to have to play fantastic in the Broncos to win, or they were going to have to land Aaron Rodgers. So what the Broncos did with that door really closing over this past month that he would stay with them after this season, what the Broncos did was they got a second and a third round pick back in order to move on from Von 9 games earlier. That is incredible value, and that's something that George Payton should absolutely not have turned down. So it was tough. And I was a little surprised that George was willing to do this big of a move, because up till this point, he hasn't made any bold moves. This was a bold move, and a bold move that really is a good move.
Was Von Miller, he said he was shocked, but then you're hearing stuff like, okay, the Broncos and the Rams made a deal last week with Kenny Young, and you're thinking, wow, they didn't have to give up much for a pretty decent linebacker. So part of me wonders if this was like an under-the-table kind of, hey, hook us up here, we're going to hook you up in a week with Von Miller. I mean, is there any chance any of that's going on?
Yeah, and something else that was out there also was that in that deal, the Rams got the call to have them be the last ones in on a Von Miller deal. So the Broncos agreed that, okay, you give us Kenny Young, and then if we do trade Von Miller, we'll let you guys have the last seat at the table. And so we talked to George Payton today at 4 p.m., and because there is so much conflicting information about did Von know the entirety of last week, did he just find out yesterday,
We'll find out more, and it's going to be really interesting to hear George Payton talk about this, not just about the process of how it went down, but what his vision is, because this is a clear sign that the Broncos are going to be rebuilding, or maybe not a full rebuild, but rebuilding in some fashion. But then last night, George Payton put out a statement that the Broncos are still trying to win. That's what I'm really curious about. What is his vision? Because, Brady, what was John Elway so good at? It was not rebuilding for those years with Peyton Manning. It was about winning now. But then what came back to bite John Elway? It was that exact same philosophy that, no, we're never going to rebuild. We're just going to retool. And every single year they did that. And every single year it was the same disappointing outcome. And if you just do that year in and year out, Brady, well, you get what the Broncos have had the past 5 years. You never get a reset. You never get, to be bad in order to become good again. And so I'm curious if this is finally that. And if that is that, it's a tough realization for Broncos. But I think Broncos fans are ready for that, Brady. They're sick of trying to compete with a half-hearted team and get the results of 7-10, 6-9. And people are over that.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And yeah, you'd have to get pretty lucky, right? You can rebuild, but if the guys you're rebuilding with just suddenly turn out to be superstars, yeah, you can have your cake and eat it too, but that's so hard to do. I will be curious to hear more about what George Payton has to say. All right, so you guys are talking about this on your podcast, Zach. Is there a chance the Broncos could make out like bandits in this whole situation, get their second and third round pick, and maybe they get Von Miller back next year as a free agent?
Man, I mean, wouldn't that be something, Brady? But I think that's a little bit of a stretch, because and Von Miller yesterday, when he put that video out just saying thank you and goodbye, man, did he really sell the idea a couple of times about returning to the Broncos, just like Shannon Sharpe did, as he said. But the Rams aren't trading a second and a third round pick to rent Von Miller for 9 games. They're going to get him in their building, and I really think they're going to get a long-term deal done. Whether it's a 2-year deal, whether it's a 4-year deal, they are not going to let him leave, especially after just 1 year. And maybe, the Broncos could convince him if they were to land an Aaron Rodgers. But Brady, I think this move signals that they're not going to be as competitive in an Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, and I think they kind of realize that after this year. Now maybe they are, and maybe they surprise me, but if you think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, I don't think you trade your best defensive player.
No, I don't think so either. So are the Broncos done? You're hearing Melvin Gordon's name's really heating up. You're hearing Kyle Fuller too, but Melvin Gordon really heating up for a couple of reasons. Obviously, they love Javonte Williams. I wish they'd give him more carries to show that love. But Melvin Gordon could potentially be traded, especially when you look at the Titans situation with we're hearing Derrick Henry could be done for the season, maybe not going to be done for this season. It's still up in the air. Do you see Melvin Gordon, Kyle Fuller, what else do you see happening for the Broncos for the rest of the day?
Yeah, that's obviously the biggest name out there that the Broncos could get a big return for is Melvin Gordon. And the Tennessee Titans are the most obvious landing spot for him. I don't see him being moved, because look at the football side of this, Brady. We thought that Javonte Williams was going to take over at some point. He has not made any push to take over Melvin Gordon as the starter. And really, he hasn't even taken snaps away from him, even like just a couple. It's still Melvin Gordon as a starter, still Melvin Gordon getting more attempts than Javonte Williams, still Melvin Gordon getting more snaps on the field than Javonte Williams. So unless a team blows the Broncos away, I don't think that they move on from Melvin Gordon. But there are some other guys that don't have as much value, and I think we could see a move be made. Like a Kyle Fuller, I think the Broncos would love to get his salary off the books, but I'm not quite sure they can dump that $5 million salary that he had. Is a team going to pay, give up a draft pick? No, it'd probably be a conditional seventh-round pick. But eat $5 million for the guy that we've just seen get beat and burned. And also in the best defensive situation, he's with Vic Fangio. He's with the guy that got him to be an all-pro a couple of years ago. I think it's going to be tough for the Broncos to move on from him, although they would like to.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And Zach, if I would have told you the Broncos were 4-4 at the beginning of the season, but they were going to trade Von Miller, you probably would have scratched your head a little bit. But it's the way that all went down, right? Even the Washington win, the end of that game and a lot of things that happened throughout just had us going, wow, it's taking truly everything the Broncos have to beat kind of another train wreck, both on the field and off the field in Washington.
Exactly, and that's why I'm really impressed that George Payton wasn't clouded by that win. And because they had been talking with the Rams before that game, and I'm really happy that he didn't get fooled by a win in October to bring the team back to 500 and say, we're all in on this year. And I think that is so important, Brady, because this team needs a vision, and it needs to be a vision that lasts more than one game or 1 month or even 1 year. Because it seems like John Elway's vision had always been just short-sighted on 1 year, 1 year. When you have Peyton Manning at the helm, you can do that because you are truly competing. When you don't have Peyton Manning and you have Joe Flacco, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian, Drew Lock, all of these rotating quarterbacks, you have to take a step back and say, this thing may get ugly for a year, may not be up to our standards, but we're not going to get back to our standards if we don't take a step back. And so that's why that Sunday's win was so minusculely important, or not important, and I'm really happy that he didn't get fooled by it.
Yeah, this shows me a lot about George Payton. I really respect it because I think most of us love Vaughn so much. We're like, nah, let's just tough it out. He'll turn it around. He'll be here forever. But I think that was a tough move, and it right now it looks like the right move. Zach, what are you working on for us, man? I know you're going to be all over the trade deadline, all over the Broncos situation, so we'll be sure to be on your Twitter account throughout the day.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brady. Yeah, an hour and 10 minutes left until the Broncos trade deadline. And then we talked to George Payton at 4 p.m., like I said, just to find out the details of how it truly went down. But then also on top of that, and more importantly, what is George Payton's vision? Like I said earlier, Brady, typically Broncos fans probably wouldn't want to hear rebuild. Now, after these past 5 years, I think they're ready for it. I don't think that George Payton goes that far to say it, but man, I hope he gives us a glimmer into some of his vision of what this team's going to look like moving forward.
Yeah, I'll be curious your thoughts on that. Maybe we'll catch up on Friday. Zach, appreciate you as always, man, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
Right on, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Short break coming up. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. Who'd you hate to see traded more, Von Miller or Nolan Arenado? That's an interesting one. Getting a lot more votes on Nolan in the morning. It's evening out a little bit now. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I'll be curious your thoughts. We'll be right back.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
With the second pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Von Miller, linebacker, Texas A&M.
Everything is just still, you know, new, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, really put the emotions into words.
Feels the pressure reset. Von Miller, the stud linebacker.
You know, this is all I, ever knew playing a pro sports here with the Denver Broncos. I've been here through the ups and the downs.
Panthers have a third and 10. Here comes pressure, and they've gotten to him. The ball is out in the end zone, and it's recovered by Malik Jackson for the touchdown. It was Von Miller with the strip sack.
You know, it's always tough whenever you leave, though.
Daniel Jones under pressure right on cue. Von Miller.
I love all my fans. I love Broncos country.
Nice.
I said Broncos for life, I meant that, and it'll always be on my heart.
Wilson, they get to him again. It's Von Miller coming around the corner.
Okay, I take it back. It was a stupid move. Why did we trade Von Miller? Why? What are you doing to me, Angel? You trying to kill me over here? Okay, now you've done it. This is why I could not be a general manager of football, because you draft, this was John Elway's first draft pick. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, technically it wasn't. But, you know, it was when John Elway was the guy in charge running things for the most part. This was his first pick. This is an emotional time. We, you know, again, we had our Great Player Network show yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about Vaughn. But you can talk about production all you want about Vaughn and his, you know, toward the last few years of his career. Vaughn was a Bronco great, is a Bronco great. He will go down as a favorite for Broncos fans, certainly one of my favorites. I've loved this guy from day one. Everything he was about was great, a great leader for this team. And you know what? It's just, it's a bummer. It's a bummer going forward. But if you can take a step back, which is what a GM has to do, you have to look at it. But thanks a lot, Angel. Now I'm going to go wipe my eyes a little bit. Second hour coming up, we're going to get into more of the Denver Broncos and the Nuggets lose last night. MPJ, do we hit the panic button? We'll be right back. On a jagged sky, I just...